Okay, today's daf is Maaser Sheni, daf Tezayin. As we continue, a perek Maaser Sheni Nitan. This is the perek of what exactly is one allowed to use the Maaser Sheni for, what is considered a kadosh way of usage, its normal usage, as we discussed different types of items. We're up to the second Mishnah on Tesvam Vayis. There's one source I wanted to mention, and that is, again, it can be mentioned almost every daf and shas, but yesterday came up that just in passing, there was a line that the Gemara said something in the name of Rav Chisda, and the Gemara says, we're not sure, v'lo yadinan, im min shmua, im min masnisa. The Gemara said, I'm not sure what the source of this halacha is from. Did he get it from his Rebbe? Did he get it from going back generations? Im min shmua, im min masnisa. The source of all halachic mesorah comes from Har Sinai. You know, the way we got it from there, sometimes there's a question about the line of Mesorah and how much is Svara, how much is transmission. But we are always very interested in the transmission, where it came from. But everything ultimately goes back to Har Sinai, and that we know from the Torah. But we also know that from an important Rambam. Important Rambam, this comes up every couple of months, but I wanted to mention it again. And it's based on a Mishnah in Chulin on Daf Kuf, where the Mishnah seems to talk about a tiny little detail that doesn't seem so exciting. But the Rambam takes this and makes a major thesis out of it. The Mishnah there has a Machlokas Tanaim. What is the halacha if somebody eats a non-kosher Gid HaNosha? Gid HaNosha of a non-kosher animal. Gid HaNosha, if somebody eats Gid HaNosha of a horse, how many Averis does he get? One or two. See, for sure, gets the Avera of not kosher, eating horse. But what happens about the Gid HaNasha of a horse? Is that a second Avera of Gid HaNasha, the sciatic nerve that I'm not allowed to eat based on Yaakov Avinu fighting with the Malach? Or no, once it's not kosher, it's not kosher. Right? We would apply the principle of Ein Isser Chal Al Isser. Right? Once something is Asser, Mishum, not kosher, that it can't be more not kosher. So that's a Machlokas Tanoim. Machlokas Tanoim about that. So the Tanakhama there says, Noig B'Tahorah V'Ein Noig B'Tameya. It only applies to kosher animals. Non-kosher animals, I only get the Aveira of not kosher. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, Af B'Tameya. Even by non-kosher animals, you get two Averis. And Rabbi Yehuda says, I'll prove it to you. Usually the Mishnah doesn't bring a proof. But here the Mishnah itself brings the proof. Rabbi Yehuda says, I'll prove it to you from a story in the Torah. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, V'halom mi b'nei Yaakov nesar gid hanasha, v'yadayin behemet t'meya muteres lohen. Rabbi Yehuda says, one second. It says in Pasuk Pasuk Vayishlach, Al-kein lo yochlu b'nei Yisrael's gid hanasha. Right? The children of Yaakov did not eat gid hanasha, and yet they didn't have Vilchas Kashrus yet, so they were allowed to eat horse. And it was also to them. So you see, Gid HaNasha is independent, and it could apply to non-kosher animals. Right? And therefore, that's Rabbi Yehuda's Raya, that Gid HaNasha should apply even to Behemos Tameos. And the Chachamim answer, Amru lo, besin, or the Girsa that we have is, Besinai Ne'emar, Elo Shenechta Bimkomo. Another Girsa is, Besinai Ne'esar. Switch the mem and the samach. Elosh nechta b'mkomo. What does that mean? B'sina ne'emar elosh nechta b'mkomo. That's a major machlokas Rashi Rambam right here on the Mishnah. Each one of them is a huge chiddush. Rashi says the shvatim ate gid hanasha. B'sina ne'emar elosh nechta b'mkomo. Mean that pasuk Hashem said to put into Parshas Vayishlach, but really it wasn't true in Parshas Vayishlach. If you read the Pesukim in Vayishlach, you even could get a little sense that it's kind of like a stuck-in pasuk that the narrator, the divine narrator, put in when he gave the Torah. Al kein lo yochlu b'nei Yisrael. It doesn't mean the b'nei Yaakov didn't eat Gid HaNasha. It's that we don't eat Gid HaNasha. So really, it's a machlokes in history, according to Rashi. It's a historical machlokes, whether the Shvatim, you're right, if the Shvatim didn't eat Gid HaNasha, that would be a good raya, but that's not true. The Chachamim say back, the brothers did eat Gid HaNasha, but that's not what the Rambam says. The Rambam here says, no. That's not what it means. Right? The brothers didn't eat Gid HaNasha, but the point of the halacha is that what happened with the brothers or any story in the Torah has no relevance to halacha today. Right? What they did pre-Matan Torah does not impact. B'Sinai Ne'emar, I think the Rambam's gear says Ne'asar, Elosh Nechta B'Koma. What does it mean? B'Sinai. Everything from us comes from Har Sinai. That's the source of our halachic Mesorah. B'Sinai Ne'asar, right? Har Sinai is the source. This pasuk was put into the Vayishlach, but that doesn't impact us. In other words, to say it in another way, there's a difference between the history of a mitzvah and the reason mitzvahs are obligatory upon us. The history of a mitzvah might come before Har Sinai. Bris Milah, Eiver Menachai, right? Shabbos, right? Shabbos became Mara. That was in Mara. But there might be mitzvahs that came before Har Sinai, but that does not impact how and in what way the mitzvahs are applicable upon us, because the source of our halachic mesorah is from Har Sinai. The Rambam says, Sim libcha ala ikar agadol, hanechla b'mishnah azos. Wow. Listen to this huge principle that is hinted and hidden in this Mishnah. V'hu masha amar b'sinai ne'esar. That's the Rambam's girsa. Right, Rashi, we have ne'emar, ne'esar. L'fi shatah reisa l'adas. Shekol masha anu marchikim, o osim hayom. Ein anu osim ela b'mitzvah sakadosh baruch hu al yidei Moshe Rabbeinu, olav ha-shalom. Lo sakadosh baruch hu amar zeh l'neviim shalafanav. And he quotes examples. Eiver Menachai we don't do because it was ushered to Noach. We do it because Moshe Rabbeinu. We don't do Bris Milah because of Avraham. We do it because of our Sinai. Where all the mitzvahs from before. And the Rambam says, because it says we got 613 at our Sinai. It doesn't say that we got 606 with seven holdovers from before. 613 at our Sinai. That's the source of our halachic mesorah. The difference between the history of the mitzvah and the reason a mitzvah is obligatory upon us. Just one other example. There are 10 other examples. But one other example. Remember the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Avel. Where the Rambam says, the Rambam passes like the Rif in the Gaonim, that Avelus Yom Rishon is Daraisa. One day, as long as it's a day of death and day of burial on the same day, the Rambam paskins that death and burial, that Avelus, the first day, is Daraisa. Bali Tosfos holds, all Avelus is Darabanan. Only Aninus is Daraisa. That's our connection to Maaser Sheni. Aninus is Daraisa, Agabe, which Halacha is Maaser Sheni. Lo vachalti va'oni mimenu, as we've said. But the Rambam says, one day, and then the Rambam asks a kasha on himself. Hilchos Avel, Perak Aleph, Halacha Aleph. What about Parshas Vayechi? It says that the brothers said Shiva for their father. 7 days? So how can I get out of that pasuk? That's a pasuk in the Torah. Says the Rambam, Nitzna Torah, v'nischad shehalacha. Right, the Torah was given, and halacha is renewed, right? A new gemara, that line comes from a gemara Shabbos, not for now. But what happened before Maamad Har Sinai is not relevant to our halachic system. And therefore, we might learn nice things from it, derech eretz, rizus, but not halacha. So again, that's the source of our halachic mesorah is that. That's why the Gemara is always interested in where it came from, but the ultimate source is Har Sinai. And that would just have to do with the line of min hashmua or min masnisa. Okay, second Mishnah here in the second parak. Here we go. Tezvav amabes. Rabbi Shimon Omer. Rabbi Shimon says, Ein sachin shemen shal ma'aseh sheni b'Yerushalayim. Rabbi Shimon says, you can't use Maaser Sheni oil. You can't smear yourself with Maaser Sheni oil in Yerushalayim. V'chachamim matirim. And the chachamim say, no, it's mutter. It's allowed. It's allowed. So some mafarshim on the page here say, Rabbi Shimon argues on the previous Mishnah, which would be a Yuz Chiddush, right? What the first line in Maseches Maaser Sheni say? The first line of Maaser Sheni, going back to Daf Aleph, Maaser Sheni, I'm sorry, let's go to the first Mishnah in our parak. Right, Maaser Sheni Nitan La'achila V'lishasiyah U'lisicha, and Rabbi Shimon is arguing on that. And then the Chacham and Matirin are going back on the first day. So the Gemara here doesn't exactly say that, but again, that's how the simple pshat seems to be in the Mara Fulda of Chaim Kedievsky. But if you look at the Pnei Moshe, which is going to be based on the Gemara later on, no. Everybody agrees that you're allowed to smear with oil. You know, there's so many sources related to that. You're allowed to smear with Maaser Sheni oil. That's called a normal usage. The machlokas here is going to be about, and we'll go with this pshat, am I allowed to get smeared from someone else? Is someone else allowed to take some Maaser Sheni oil in their hand and then help me smear? Sometimes there's that, those, like you put on a sunscreen, there's those spots on the back of the leg or the neck that it's sometimes hard to get to, so you give it to somebody else to smear. So is somebody else allowed to smear Maaser Sheni oil on me? That's the machlokas. Rabbi Shimon says, no, you know why? Because even though you're allowed to get hanaf or Maaser Sheni oil, but if somebody's going to do it on me, there's going to be a little bit of Maaser Sheni oil left on their hand. Right? And that's not going to be, they're not getting hanaf from that. Or even if they're getting a little hanaf, the way the Pnei Moshe says it, it's ki'ilu, that's my payment to them. They're smearing me with oil, and they're going to get a little smeared on their hand. That's going to make them feel good. And we learned in the first parak that you're not allowed to pay a chov with Maaser Sheni. So that's why Reb Shimon says, no good. right? Because that is significant. That's going to be the machlokas. The chamzei mutter. Come on, that's such a significant, a little bit of oil on the hand while you're smearing. That's not so significant. A, it's not a loss of meiser sheni. And number two, you don't look at that as prias chof of with meiser sheni oil. So that's the machlokas here at the beginning of our daf today. So again, Rabbi Shimon says a person cannot smear, and that's how the Pnei Moshe says im sichazu yasuch chaveiro. Es yado bashemen v'zeo she'oser Reb Shimon b'bnei shezen nireh ka'omer lo. It appears as if there's a deal going on here. Tasuch yadcha b'shemen azeh, right? Smear your hand, feel good. B'schar she'tasuch osi v'harizeh kaporeh chov omi ma'asher sheni. Right, and that's the problem. And the Chabamimatir ain choshen l'kach, they say it's not an issue, and therefore there's no problem. L'chadchila. There's no problem with smearing, having somebody else do it. Amr lo, continuing the Mishnah, Amr lo, the Rabbi Shimon, they say, the Chachamim say to Rabbi Shimon, Im hekel betruma chamura, lo nakel b'maiser sheni akal. Right, they say back to Rabbi Shimon, what do you mean? Truma is more chamur than maiser sheni. So, if one is allowed to smear with truma, so surely you can smear with maaser sheni. What exactly is the kal v'chomer? So we know general truma. How do you know truma is more chomer? It's also lazarim misa b'dei shamayim. If a zar eats truma b'mezid, right, he has to pay a karen and a chomesh if he consumes it. So they say truma is more chomer, and you're allowed to have somebody smear you with truma oil. So if truma is more chamor, and you can ask somebody to smear you with truma oil, so surely maaser sheni shouldn't be a problem. That's what the Chacham say back to Rabbi Shimon. And Amar Lahen, Rabbi Shimon says to them, no, wrong. Ma, what are you talking about? Lo, right, no. Right, or ma lo is one phrase, but either way he says no. Hekel b'truma chamura, makom shehekel b'kashin u'betiltan. No, Rabbi Shimon's going to basically say back, wrong, maaser sheni could be more chamor. I'll give you an example where Maaser Sheni is more chamor. So don't tell me if you could have somebody else smear truma on you, you could smear Maaser Sheni on you. No, maybe Maaser Sheni is more chamor. I'll give you an example where Maaser Sheni is more chamor. In what way? Regarding karshinim and tiltan. Karshinim, vetch and fenugreek, these types of items that are basically inedible for humans unless it's like a famine. Right, and then it's shas hatzchak. So midaraisa, that doesn't have any kedusha of truma and maaser sheni, but midrabanan, we give it some status, and in that derabanan status, we treat maaser sheni more chamer than truma. So that's going to be Rabbi Shimon's taina against the chachamim. Don't tell me there's a kal v'chomer from truma to maaser sheni. Maaser sheni can be more chamer. Let's read the line again. Heikel b'truma chamura, amekel b'truma chamura, makom sheheikel b'karshinim u'betiltan. No, because there we're mekel but for karshinim. I think that's called vetch and tiltan, right? That's one of the simanim on Rosh Hashanah, ubetiltan. We had a lot of tiltan discussions over the last couple of months in these mesechtas. Nokel b'maiser sheni yakal. Shall we be mako with maiser sheni? Makam shalo eko b'kashinim b'tiltan. Where we're not mako. So again, the Mishnah is going to explain what exactly is the kula by truma that does not appear by Maaser Sheni. So I guess let's just continue reading and then we'll get back. Says the Gemara, what's the kula? So first we're going to talk about Tiltan. Then we're going to talk about, Karshinim. Karshine Maaser Sheni, and then, you'll see. So Tiltan's first. So Tiltan, this fenugreek, Tiltan, so Maaser Sheni, usually this is grown. It has stalks, it produces seeds, and then you use the seeds. That's the main way that tiltan is usually used. But the Mishnah here says, tiltan, so maaser sheni, te'achel tzimchonim. You're allowed to eat the stalks, even though they're really kind of not edible, and you usually leave them to ripen more. So remember we said, if something has kedusha, maybe you're not allowed to eat it before it gets ripe, because that's called a bizayon, that's called an ibud. of the fruit. We discussed this in Shvius, Peir Shvius. You have to leave until it gets ripe, and then partake. So it says here, Teachal Tzimchonim. They can be eaten Tzimchonim in their growths. What's the Chiddush? Rav Chaim Kadievsky. The Kamash Malan. Diaf Al Gav Shadayin Lo Gadlu Kol Tzarchan. Even though they're not fully grown, Mutter La Achlan Afilu Tzimchonim. You're allowed to eat it in that state. V'lo Chashiv Hefsid. That's not called being mafsid. V'hekelu betiltan she'eno ochel gomor. And why are you allowed to do this? Because tiltan is not really food. Right? They're not really food. And therefore, we're makel. The whole thing is a kind of a chumra d'rabanan. So, if you want to eat it in this semi-ripened way, you are allowed to. That's not the proof yet. That's not the proof yet. But that's just the halacha. But now we sell vishel truma. What about tilton of truma? So here we go. Beishamai omrim. Usually, there's halacha that you have to keep truma tahora. Right? To keep truma tahora, that's mishmeres trumosai. You have to make sure that truma stays tahar. Right, there's a Ramban in the beginning of Chulin that says maybe that means you're not allowed to even allow it to get into a case of suffik. Right, that's what Shmira means. Shmira means you don't even let it get into the situation of suffik problem. So there's a special din of Mishmeres Truma Sai not being Metame Truma. We discussed this at length. Back in Mesechta Shumas, we mentioned then that the Avnei Miluim uses this halacha to teach me that even though usually most Rishonim say that the principle of Ein Mevatel Nisr L'Chanchila, not being Mevatel, taking an Isser, and being Mevatel, usually it's a Dinter Rabbanan, Mishnah in Trumas, if you remember, middle of Trumas, you're not allowed to take an Isser and be Mevatel it, even though it's Bittel works, that's only if it happened, B'di'evet, you can't cause that, but it could be that when it comes to Truma, that's an Isser Daraisa, because you have to guard Truma. You have to guard Truma that it stays Tahar, you have to guard Truma that it stays existent. And therefore, if I do something that will now, you know, make Truma non-existent, so then that could be a violation. That could be a violation. Maybe even Asa Daraisa. That's in the Chuvis Avni Miluim at the end of the Sefer. So here, I have to keep Truma Tahora. But this is not really Truma. This is a low-level, inferior Truma. It's a tilt on Truma. So how far, what standard do I have to use? So Beishamai Yomrim, Kol Maaseh B'Tahara, Beishamai Smachri. He says, yeah, once they say it's considered Truma, you have to do everything and prepare it all B'Tahara. That means you have to wash your hands and handle it B'Tahara. You see the last few skinny lines of the Mara Folda, narrow lines. Bikol Makom LeBeishamai Tzarach Yukol Maaseh B'Tahara, Ube Netilas Yadayim, Kedin Kol Shar Ochlei Truma. Right, you have to wash your hands. Chutz mi chafifasa, except for its chafifa. What's chafifa? Sometimes some of the products of this tilton is used for shampooing, for combing your hair, so that you're not using it for food and it's basically inedible. So when you shampoo your hair with some tilton pieces, so that's not, you don't have to do that patara. You have to wash your hands before you do that. And that is Beishamai. Everything is Betara, Chutz B'Chafifasa. And Beisila is the opposite. Beisila Omrim Kol Maaseh Betuma, Chutz B'Shriyasa. Beisila says, no, everything can be Betuma, except for when you are soaking it. Because when you're soaking it, as the Mara Folder explains, then it's going to become susceptible to Tuma and Tame in 1 second. Because if you didn't wash your hands, then you're going to soak it, which gets it wet. And that second, you're touching it, so it's going to get Tame. So for that, Beisila says, okay, that you're not allowed to do. If you're going to soak it, you have to wash your hands beforehand. That's what the Bara Fulda explains. Shimshara osam balon etilas yadayim, shriyasan machshir ton lakabal toma, v'hu metaman miyad biyadav. It's going to be tummy right away. So that is the halacha of tilta truma. So the Mishnah doesn't say the contrast. But tilta truma has this machlokes about what requires tara, what doesn't, Beishamai, everything except. Beisila says, nothing except, but Meiser Sheni would require Tara. And that's the Chumrah of Meiser Sheni. And that's what Rabbi Shimon answered. We're going to have another one later in a few minutes. But that's the Tilton of Meiser Sheni must be totally Betara. So you see it's more Chumur, and that's Rabbi Shimon's Taina back against the Chachamim. Don't tell me a Kava Chumur from Truma to Meiser Sheni. I'll find you a Chumrah by Meiser Sheni that doesn't apply to Truma, and therefore maybe this too, about somebody else smearing it with the oil. So that is number one, the tilton of Meister Sheni. Then we're going to get to the Karshina. But before we do that, the word chafifa here, right, chafifasa, means literally combing or shampooing, right there. Lachuf roshan betilton. Lachuf, that means like to wash one's hair. But we know from elsewhere that chafifa has come to mean not just combing, but all the preparations for Hilchas Nida is where it comes up. But that word chafifa is what's mentioned also in Baba Kama. Now the Gemara, the end of Merubah, the end of the seventh parak of Baba Kama, the Gemara in the Bavli mentions the 10 takanos that Ezra HaSofer made. Ezra HaSofer made 10 takanos. When they came back to Eretz Yisrael, Ezra was very, very old. The Pesukim describe in Ezra. He was very old when he came back. He didn't come back right away. Nehemiah came back and they built, and he came back a little bit later. The Gemara says in Megillah that Ezra stayed because his Rebbe, the end of the first parak in Megillah, his Rebbe, he didn't want to leave his Rebbe before his Rebbe died. So he waited till his Rebbe was nifter, and then he came. He was very old. So Ezra Sofer made 10 takanos. Asara takanos tikin Ezra. What were the takanas? That you lane on Mincha on Shabbos, and you have to lane every 3 days, and you do laundry on Thursdays, and you eat garlic on Fridays. But the one that I want to pick up on is Vishite Isha Chofefes Vitoveles. Chofefes, there's that lashon. Chafifa. A woman does chafifa. What's chafifa? Rashi, there, Babakama Pebes, Bimasrik, Biyom Tfilasa. She combs out the hair, Mishum Chatzitza. Right, because chatzitzas, right? If there's knots in the hair, so then that could be a chatzitza, an interposition problem with the water not touching a part of the body, and therefore Ezra was masakin to do chafifa. So the Gemara says Ezra was masakin it. It's a problem. It's a chatzitza daraisa. If there's a interposition. So what you need Ezra Sofer to tell you. Says the Gemara, "Vishtei isha chofeves v'tovelas daraisi d'tanya v'rachatzes b'saro b'mayim shelo yehi davar chotzeitz bein b'saro l'mayim." Es bisaro, es hatofel bisaro, umainihu seyar. So any chatzitza on the body, including in the hairs, it did daraisa. So what do you need Ezra to be misakein chafifa? Right? The combing, a woman has to comb her hair before she goes to the mikvah. That's a did daraisa. She doesn't comb her hair, there's going to be knots in her hair, and that's going to be a problem. Mi daraisa. What do you need Ezra for? So says the Gemara, amri daraisa liyune, dilma miktar. On a daraisa level, a woman could just examine herself or have herself examined, and if she sees no knots, okay, great, go to the mikvah. Inami maus midi mishum chatzitza. Right, there's something that is maus. Va'asa'iyu tikin chafifa. And then he says, no, you can't just examine, you can't just rely, right? You have this whole process, chafifa. And then there was a later din, that's called in Shulchan Aruch, not just the combing, but, you know, all the different preparations. Chafifa has come to mean all the preparations that a woman does for the mikvah. But here we have the lashon chafifa, at least shampooing, and the combing in the context of tilta na maaser sheni. Okay, so again, the context of the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon is proving that maaser sheni can be more chamer than shumer. So first, he's mentioned it from tilton. Now let's get to karshinim. Karshine maaser sheni yachlut simchonim. Same halacha that we said about the tilton. Karshinim of maaser sheni can be eaten simchonim. Remember, even if they're not fully ripe. V'nechnasim liyushalayim v'yotzim. And they can go in and out of Yerushalayim. We will learn that once Maaser Sheni comes into Yerushalayim, real Maaser Sheni, you can no longer redeem it. Right? If it comes in, you got to eat it there. You got to have a heter of pidyon if it's too much to schlep. But once real Maaser Sheni, fruit, comes into Yerushalayim, you have to consume it there. But this, right, this karshinim is inferior. Right? The whole thing is not really food. So therefore, if it goes in, it could go out. Nitma'u. Right? What happens if these karshinim became tame? So usually, if Maaser Sheni in Yerushalayim became Tameh, then you could redeem it. Then you could redeem it, we say. Right? Because it's not edible. Right? It's Tameh. Then you could redeem it. But here, and that's what the Maharafulda here says. Regular Maaser Sheni, Podin, even Yerushalayim, but these Karshinim, they're not really food. They're not really food. And Rabbi Tarfon holds, as we're about to see, Ein Podin Kachim L'Hachilon L'Klavim. You cannot be poda something if what you're being poda it for is just to give it to animals. So this is really animal food. So what do you do? So you're stuck here. You can't redeem it. You can't eat it, really, because it's tameh. And you can't redeem it because, you know, it's, you can't be machal klavim. So what do you do? So Rabbi Tarfon says, Nit Rabbi Tarfon Omer, switch the word, yischalku liisisios. Separate it into tiny little pieces. Tiny little pieces. And then add them to Maaser Sheni doughs. So they'll be batel. So that way you'll be able to eat them in a way that's allowed. They're tame, but if you make them into tiny little pieces that are smaller than an egg size, then it's not going to be metame anything around it. Eino metame acherim. So add it to these doughs. That's what Rabbi Tarfon says. If you have tame, karshine, Maaser Sheni in Yerushalayim, so separate it into tiny little doughs, add it to other doughs, and then you'll be able to eat it. Wonderful. The Chacham say no. You can redeem them. You can redeem it, and take that money and then buy some good Meister Sheni with it. Yipadu, you can redeem it like other Meister Sheni. That's by Meister Sheni. Vishel Truma, what about Karshine Truma? So, four Shitas. Four Shitas, what do you do with Truma Karshinim? Beishamai Yomrim Sharon Beshafin Betara, Umachil Matuma. Beishamai says, when you soak them and you scrub them, that has to be on Betara, Umachil Matuma. Once you did that, you could feed it to your animals in a state of tuma, right? When you without washing your hands, that's beishamai. Ubeisel omrim sharon betara. You can even soak it betara. Vishafin umachilin betuma. But the shafin, right? That was machlo. Beishamai says the shafin, the rubbing has to be betara, and beishamai says that could also be betuma. Shamai omer, right? We had beishamai. Now shamai omer ye achlu tsarid. It could only be eaten dry. Right, you know, it should be nikar. It could be nikar that that's not becoming tameh right now. Right, even though we paskin that, you know, once something becomes wet, even if it then gets dry, it's still mukshel lekabel tuma. But that's shamay shita, dry. Rabbi Akiva Omer called masin betuma. But Akiva says, no, the whole thing is a chumrah. The whole thing is karshinim. It's not really edible. It's nechal adei tzchaka, times of famine. So you can just do the whole thing betum. It's not a problem. So again, you have all these opinions about how you handle truma karshinim. But add in, Meister Sheni, everybody says it has to be betara. So again, this is Rabbi Shimon's point. Today's daf. Rabbi Shimon basically had one point. Meister Sheni could be chomer than truma in certain ways. And therefore, don't tell me there's a kalva chomer that if somebody cannot smear Meister Sheni oil on me, oh, what a truma is allowed. Okay, Meister Sheni can be more chomer. And therefore, Rabbi Shimon says back to the Chachamim, it's not a raya. Again, there's obviously other chumers also. Meister Sheni has to be eaten in Yerushalayim, and Truma does not. Truma can be eaten anywhere, but Truma has the big chumra really of a czar, and Meister Sheni can be eaten by anybody, while Truma cannot. There is a big discussion of smearing. We're talking about smearing Truma and smearing Meister Sheni. Again, a Yisrael is not allowed to have truma oil smeared on him, right? That's the halacha. But also Kohen Arel is also not allowed to have truma smeared on him, right? Because he's an Arel. So there is a machlok. There's a question, a very interesting question. We had a whole Shabbos Hagadol drasha related to this topic a couple of years ago. What about a Kohen Arel, the Gemara Yevamos Ayin Aleph, has this suffix, can a Kohen Katan Arel get smeared with Truma oil before his bris? Before his bris. You have a four-day-old Kohen baby, right? You might want to smear the baby with Truma oil. He doesn't have bris mila. So is he an Arel? That's the question. Arelus Shalo Bismana, right? That's the question. And Arelus, is that called Arel or not? So that's a suffix in Gemara Yevamos Ayin Aleph in the Bavli. If you look in the parallel Yerushalmi in the eighth parak of Yevamos, the Yerushalmi says, no, that's allowed. Smear day four baby, that's okay. He's not an Arel yet. Suffix, what about the night of the eighth day? That's what's not clear. What changed? What changed the night of the eighth day? It's still, he can't get his bris mila till the next day. You can only do bris mila by yom. So what changed? So it could be, though, that it conceptually, the chiyuv of Mila kicks in the night of the eighth. Even though you can only actually do the bris Mila the day of the eighth. But it could be he already has the status of a chiyuv of Mila, and therefore he's already an Arel. He's an Arel the night before, he just can't do the bris Mila yet. And we find many examples of the status of a mitzvah kicking in, or even the chiyuv of mitzvah kicking in before you actually could do the mitzvah. There's a Rashi in Sukkah Lama Gimel, which seems to say that the status of lulav and the dalan minim start when Sukkah starts. When Sukkah starts, that's when, right? This is called a myrtle branch before Sukkah. This is called a citron. It's only called an esrog on Sukkah. So when does it become an esrog? When Sukkah starts. Well, I can't shake an esrog until the next morning. But it's called an esrog now, and there are halachas relating to that. The status could start right away before the chalos chiyuv could kick in before the actual zman kiyum hamitzvah. Many examples, just one other, Rav Soloveitchik like to quote the example of the Gemara in Sanhedrin, I think it's Dav Chaf, where the Gemara says that when Bnei Yisrael come back into Eretz Yisrael, they will have three mitzvahs to do. That's the language of the Gemara. What are the three mitzvahs? Three mitzvahs are appointing a king, wiping out a Molech, and building the Beis HaMikdash. In that order, says the Gemara. In that order. You got to have a king in order to fight your war, wipe out a Molech, and then build the Beis HaMikdash. So answer of salvation. If it has to be in that order, so why does the Gemara say that there are three mitzvahs that Bnei Yisrael has to do on their way back? It should be one mitzvah. The one mitzvah is to appoint a king. And then after you do that mitzvah, then you have to wipe out a Molech. And after you do that, it has to be in order. So when you come into Eretz Yisrael, there's no mitzvah yet to build the Beis HaMikdash. Is there? So explain our salvation to this idea. All three, the chalos chiyuv is right when they come in. Even though you can't actually fulfill them until you go in order. And you fulfill one and you fulfill the other. And there are many other examples. That has to do with smearing the truma oil. Period. Okay, one more section. My kilu b'truma. So says the Gemara now, let's get back to the first line of the Mishnah. Right, what the Chachamim say to the Rebbe Shimon originally? They say, if you can be mako by truma, meaning by truma, according to the way we understood the Mishnah, if by truma somebody can smear oil on me, and I don't have to worry about the little bit that stays on his hand, so surely my sosheni. So the Gemara says, my kilu b'truma, what's the kula by truma? Kahada d'tani, like we learned in the Brisa. Sachu kohen shemichal truma, umevi ben bito, skip the next word, Yisrael uma'aglo agabe mea ve'nechoshesh. Right, you could have a Kohen who smears himself with truma oil, and then he has his little grandson, right, his daughter's son, who is not a Kohen. And he could put him on his stomach, even though some of the oil from the grandfather's stomach, will now go on the baby's little tummy, and he'll get a little hung up. That's a little bit, we don't have to be worried about that. You don't have to be worried, he's playing with his grandson now. So what do you see from there? That it's such a little oil, it's insignificant. Don't worry about it. So that's what the Chacham said to Rabbi Shimon, Vacham Matirin, because you're smearing me with oil. The little bit that's on your hand is not significant. We don't have to worry about it. Bichlal, the Isser of smearing for a czar is a machlokas we've shown him. Eating truma is for sure an Isser daraisa for a czar. But smearing, that's a machlokas. The Rambam seems to say is daraisa. Rabbeinu Tam says it's darabanan. Machlokas we've shown him, whether that itself is an Isser daraisa or an Isser darabanan. Arel, ironically, might be more chamor. Arel might be more chamor than a czar in terms of sicha. Okay, but that's not for now. Okay, we'll have to stop here, B'Hashem, and we'll continue our march in the second parak, B'Hashem, next time.